Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa, whoa.
Here's Matt. Guns it. Caught. First touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown Calvin Ridley. Grady Jarrett got another one. You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It's good to have you listening on a Tuesday in which the NFL has reported. All teams reporting to camp. All teams will start NFL training camp this week, including our Falcons, and we're going to let you hear from a couple of Falcons coming up as we get into the Falcon Report. If you're just joining us today, one of the big stories around the country, okay, is Simone Biles withdrawing herself from her team as they had a chance to potentially win gold. They win silver at the Olympics, and Mike, a lot of people are talking about it, and we talked about it to start the show today, and I was pretty animated about it as I got up this morning. As I said, I saw this and was like, what? It bothered me on many levels, and more information has come out about this as the day is going on. But we're going to let you hear what we had to say about this in about 15 minutes, because Mike and I, sometimes we do things on this program where it's just in the moment. It is something that we can't duplicate. We can, you know, bring up topics and talk about things again, but I want you to hear it in its natural state. So you will get a chance to do that coming up in at 5:20. Mike, I want to ask you a question before we get into the Falcons real quick, specifically about some of the things that we'll hear from, like, Mike Davis, our running back. How talented is this roster in your mind?
It is. There are elements, right? There are elements that are really talented, and there's elements that are we don't know about, and there's some that are here that haven't really performed well. So it's a mixed bag. When you're coming off of four wins, Carl, even the most hardcore, like, positive Falcon fan would say, you know, it's still not a very good football team. Now, how much of that was on coaching, right? There's only so much of the coaching you can blame. The guys had to execute, right? Guys got to get out there and make plays.
Yes.
So we had a really terrible defense. It's been turned over. Some of the guys are still here. But it's still a really bad defense, and it's a young defense in some cases. Offensive line, we've had holes in the middle. It's got to get fixed. Alex Mack in his last year did the best he could. You know, Hennessy took over late in the season. Left guard was difficult. Matt got sacked another 41 times. That's an issue. So, like I always do to you, a long answer to a short question. We got an MVP quarterback. We got a Pro Bowl wide receiver, and we got a lot of potential, okay, because Kyle Pitts, I think, could be the next big thing in this league. But it's still a bad football team.
So the talent level is not the potential of the team, right? You can have guys in the NFL for the most part, and there's very little difference when you start talking about the top tier teams, right? I mean, there really is. It comes down to play here, play there, execution, quarterback play, etc. But when we're talking about how talented this team is, talent matters, because that is how our team is viewed, and people go, well, they're going to be good or they're not going to be good at all. And to Mike's point, coming off of the season we had last year, most people think that this talent on this particular team heading into this season is not that good. Regardless of the you know, Matt Ryan factor and Calvin Ridley, and we have some pieces, and Grady Jarrett being recognized as one of the best defensive players in the league. Overall, I agree with you, Mike. I don't think the talent level is such where you go all-pro, all-pro, Pro Bowler, perennial Pro Bowler. We're not doing that on this roster. So – we have room for improvement. That improvement has to come through coaching. So let me ask you, how much better will the coaching be?
Well, we don't really know other than what we can, you know, glean from what happened up in Nashville. This guy got the most out of a stud running back. Most guys, I don't think there's many coaches out there that wouldn't say, well, I'm not going to use Derrick Henry. But he got more out of Derrick Henry when he got there. Okay, he had success, but he took him to another level. Ryan Tannehill's career got reinvigorated under Arthur Smith's tutelage. Right? So, I mean, you had a 1,000-yard rusher, a 1,000-yard receiver. A lot of those are good weapons to have, but they were maximizing the talent. They were really good in the red zone. What's the biggest Falcon beef? I've got a few of them. We don't sack the quarterback, but I think for most Falcon fans, Carl, it's our absolute weakness in the red zone. So if Arthur Smith can fix that, then it'll validate the hire. But we don't know what he's going to be as a Falcons coach. So, I mean, I'm not being negative Nelly, guys. I just can't sit here and go, he's going to be great, because I've never seen him coach a game before.
No, we didn't know Dan Quinn was going to be good the first few years he was here. You have to give them time to get on the job and kind of, you know, feel things out. But as we get camp started this week, part of our discussion, as we watch things play out here over the next few weeks and this team starts to come together, is if you believe the coaching is going to be better, then this team's going to be better. The talent level, I cannot tell you how good these draft picks are going to be. If they pan out like we think we are, or at least Mike and I, with Richie Grant, who I think is going to be a stud, and Pitts, who will be the most impactful rookie this year outside of the quarterbacks, because quarterbacks touch it every down, then we got a shot to do something. But that's still yet to be determined. Let's hear from some of the guys, like our own Mike Davis, talking about his relationship with Matt Ryan. This is our running back, Mike Davis, today.
The relationship is really good between me and Matt. I mean, he's a veteran guy. He knows what to look for. Really smart out there on the field. So anytime you have a smart quarterback like Matt, I mean, it's always a plus.
His relationship he's talking about. And, you know, is that important as far as Mike Davis getting the ball handed off to him by Matt Ryan? And I don't know. It's always good when guys like each other and you want to play with each other and you want to play for each other. That does matter. But I just think, Mike, guys have to come in here and do their jobs. And I think that's kind of what I'm looking for. I want to see the accountability we keep talking about with the coaching change, right? Because that kind of faded with Quinn and his staff. And then I think Raheem Morris, he brought that in, but the team was, we were already on that trajectory, right? Where we were headed in this certain way. I think he brought back the responsibility, but I do think that's something that Art Smith has brought in here as well.
Right, and the conversation we kept having back in the spring is the whole, you know, Julio, is he going to be here? Is he gone? Conversation played out. Is for some reason people don't respect Calvin Ridley's game, as if somehow he's Alvin Harper to Michael Irving, which is not the case. This guy's a really good wide receiver, you know. And I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know if these guys at all love the Julio thing or bodybuilding freaks that just don't like the cut of his jib. But either way, Calvin Ridley is a guy that gets it done. And he makes tough catches, and he gets in the slot. He can use them all over the field. And now we're going to have a guy. I think if Pitts is as good as they think he is, and why they draft him fourth, and why other teams wanted to get Pitts, it could make – well, Julio fans are never going to forget about Julio – but you could have a new guy to really be a big fan of. Well, and Calvin Ridley's going to reap the benefits of that.
But I think you should. I mean, again, why take a guy fourth if you don't think he's a dude? He should be a dude. I'm not expecting him to be less than that, Mike. When you start talking about what are the expectations, at least 80 to 100 balls, at least 6 to 8 touchdowns. If he exceeds that, great. I expect him to have a huge impact on this offense. If he does not, why didn't we take him fourth overall? So it's just like when we traded for Julio, you didn't make that deal to just bring Julio in and hope he was going to have an impact. You brought him in knowing he's got to impact the game.
But as we said, when we, social media, how much of that is capturing what is the vibe in Falcon Nation? But, you know, there's a lot of guys like me. I wanted Justin Fields, but the financial reality of it made that situation untenable. And Matt's going to be here for at least 2 years. So I've kind of turned – you and I talked about turning the page when it went down after draft night. And now it's Arthur Smith. The first thing we do is we run the football. And you got to find the guys to do that. I keep banging the drum for Mayfield. Falcon fans will get a chance to see these guys starting this weekend, what the new guys look like. But competition for left guard, potential competition for center, and then hopefully McGarry gets coached up. I still think McGarry's going to be starting at right tackle. But the line's got to be good enough, Carl, because that's where this whole thing starts for this team.
Coaching has to be better. Let's hear from Michael Walker. How he's going to help this team. He's got a lot of potential, guys. And remember, he was a draft pick a couple of years ago. Runs well, sideline to sideline guy. But he actually says, hey, I bulked up a little bit.
You know, I thought during the season it was too much weight for me. I didn't want to, like, try to make that big jump, you know, during it. But having this time for offseason is the first time I really got a real offseason. So just training with it, seeing how I feel with it, going to OTAs with that weight. So I think it's going to be really good for me.
Mm. That's interesting. And feeling like he needed to add some weight. A lot of times guys feel like they need to lose weight. It just depends on your circumstances. And Daron Harmon, the secondary, we talked about Richie Grant, but this secondary is redone. I mean, you're talking about probably now, Mike, your most experienced corner, Oliver and A.J. Terrell. Terrell's much better, in my opinion, as far as just a man-to-man guy. But Daron Harmon is a guy we went out and got as well. He talked about the secondary.
Well, it's going to take a lot of work. You know, we got some young guys, and we got, you know, some older guys with myself and Eric, and, you know, Fabian's in year five and Isaiah's in year four. But, you know, we got a lot of guys who, you know, two and under. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to take reps. Not just reps on the practice field, but reps in, you know, the film room, reps at, you know, walkthroughs, reps just with us getting together and just talking ball. It's going to take time, but if everybody, in which I believe everybody is willing, you put in the work, then, you know, things continue to come together.
It is going to take a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny, a couple guys hit us up on Twitch and on Twitter saying, you know, I mean, you guys are kind of nailing it. It's if it was a good team, you know, everybody would still be here. Wouldn't be, you know, we wouldn't have had four wins. We just, I don't know, because when you and I did that schedule, when the schedule dropped and you and I were joking around about, hey, 11, 10, I think 8 to 9 wins, I think, is realistic. Because, you know, we do play some teams, which, and you know how it is, guys. Every year we look at that roster and look at that schedule and say, okay, we'll beat those guys. But there's always a team which is coming up in the ranks and one that's going back down. But I have a hard time, you know, looking at this squad and saying, is that defense going to come together? Unless Coach Pease just does an unbelievable job maximizing this young talent. Because we got some young guys, and maybe he gets more out of the draft picks that we didn't really get much out of the last couple of years, too.
Yeah, and that's the big if. If he can do that. As always, guys, Falcon Report brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys, go to Domino's.com. You can ask for that car side delivery when you go to the website. And then they'll bring the pizza out, whoosh, lickety-split. Matter of fact, if it's not out within 2 minutes, your next order is going to be free. So how about a large three-topping pizza, $7.99, and watch your favorite sports tonight.
As we get camp started this week, Falcons reported today, it's Dukes and Bell coming up on the strong arm story of the day, and you will hear our conversation about one of the biggest stories that's going on in sports right now. It's on the way. Players know the expectation, though. And I think this is important, too, because last year with all the craziness and whatnot that was going on with COVID and the restrictions, and they actually had an OTA this year. They actually had mini camp. So they know what to expect coming into this week and what Arthur Smith is all about. Now it's about getting down to business, Mike, practicing, executing, and doing all those things. Hopefully that makes us a really good team.
We get one last week. Guys were asking us earlier, why the Cowboys get the early start? We talked about it earlier. Cowboys and the Steelers, they get to play in that Hall of Fame game, so they get an extra week. And also, while we're just talking NFL, we had our boy John McClain on earlier. He makes it sound like Deshaun Watson ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, he actually suggested that the Texans tell him, we're going to pay you, but you don't need to be here, which is very interesting. He only showed up because he didn't want to be fined.
Right, literally.
When we come back, it's the big story, and we're going to talk about it. And you will hear both of us passionately talk about it. Stay right there.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law. Now, here's another moment from Dukes and Bell.
We're losing all over the place. I mean, you just heard Mike Conti. The Russians win in gymnastics. We're talking about the team event. Simone Biles, that's a big story, Mike. She's our best gymnast, and for her to pull out the way she did, and then, you know, this morning it was injury, and then I've seen various reports. Well, she wasn't injured. Her pride was injured, she said. And after the performance I did, I just didn't want to go on. So she says, well, what about Thursday? Well, what we're going to see about Thursday. So her head wasn't right. And, you know, we lose softball. I mean, what are we winning over there?
Yeah, and I'm getting killed on Twitter because I said I don't understand what happened with, you know, with Simone Biles last night. I just don't understand it. And, I mean, I get it. We're in a new generation. There's different attitudes about a lot of things, including mental health. But the Olympics are about handling pressure.
Oh.
I mean, to me, and this, and you're like, I'm talking sports here, okay? I don't know if Carl.
No, go ahead and go in, Mike.
On social media, and look, as I said, who is it? The coach of Missouri said the other day, Eli Drinkwitz, that Twitter isn't real. You know, it is what it is, okay? There's attitudes there which, you know, they feel differently than I feel on a lot of subjects. But, Carl, Jesse Owens went into the heart of Nazi Germany. It was the Aryan race, the supreme superior race, on display with Hitler. Okay.
Don't go.
You're right. Jesse Owens didn't say, you know, I don't have my shoes. I'm gonna pass on this event. I'm gonna pass on the long jump. You know, it just that's one. I'll give you another one. Greg Louganis was HIV positive.
You're right.
When he hit his head on the diving board and had to keep it a secret and compete and battle back and win a gold medal. Could you think of a more pressure situation in any arena?
No.
And just here in 1996, we just had the anniversary of Kerry Strug on a bad ankle, you know, powering through it. So I get it. We live in a world now where, you know, whether it's who is the girl? Osaka, the tennis player.
Naomi
Osaka, and by the way, I also get here in Atlanta when a white guy is talking about an African American athlete, you know, and that's ridiculous. We're talking sports. The Olympics is a sports. I've asked the question of Carl for the last 3 weeks. Why should I care about this? Well, here it is: the face of the American Olympic team, and has a moment where she doesn't feel comfortable in the arena. And I get it. I don't want to see anyone have a nervous breakdown over sports. And we know, Carl, there's parents that pressure these kids in all sports. And I get that.
Sure.
But you've already shown the ability to have this mental toughness, to win Olympic gold, to compete in the arena. I'm asking the question, why? I'm asking the question, how did this happen?
Yeah. And when I found out, you know, that she was not competing, and I didn't – the Russians winning, that's a sidebar, right? My thing was, what gave me reason to want to watch these Olympics? Simone Biles was one of them. Now, as they said, well, she's out of the team competition, but, we, you know, she still has the individual. Well, she just said she doesn't even know she's going to do that. Here's the deal. I don't know what her mental makeup is. I'm going to assume that Simone Biles has one of the toughest mental makeups because of the pressure she's had to endure training all these years to get ready for these moments. But, Mike Bell, I couldn't agree with you more. When you talk about what makes these Olympic moments historic, and the legacies of the guys and men and women who have come before these Olympians, who've done special things and overcome these moments. And you talked about Jesse Owens. Hell, you go back to 68 Olympics. There were racial components.
Right.
You know, that guys, men and women had to deal with. So I totally agree with your assessment. And it's not about you being black or white. I agree. If brothers are upset because you're saying, what's the deal with her? Guys got to get over that, because I'm saying the same damn thing. I'm saying Simone Biles is the reason why a lot of people are going, our gymnasts over there are going to win gold and we're going to dominate. And we didn't do that. We're bringing home the silver. So, you know, don't get me wrong. I know everybody gets a medal and everybody gets trophies these days, but I'm all about W's, wins, being number one. So for me, it was a disappointment that she left when I saw the quote, Mike, I didn't want to let my teammates down. Simone, you did. I understand you had a bad one rotation and got a bad score. But by leaving in that moment, you let your team down.
Right.
So I don't care what anybody says. What are we winning over there?
Right.
Softball, gymnastics, the basketball team is not that damn good. Somebody tell me.
Well, this is something I've been talking about with some listeners. Immediately, like, I got people saying I should be fired for asking why Simone Biles tapped out.
Oh, stop it.
I mean, but this is America. This is where we're at. And this is where I hate to sound like this, but I'll say it because I'm reading it. I'm living it right now in the moment on social media. What do we go to Tokyo for? Did NBC just spend $8 gazillion so we can give away a medal for empathy?
We should be there.
It's gold, it's silver, it's bronze. It's about handling the biggest moments. I just gave you three historical moments in U.S. Olympic history. But we live in an era now where, well, you know, she got to check herself, make sure she's okay. Why should I care? Why should I watch? This is sports I don't watch any other time, any other year. It builds to the biggest moment. These are the biggest moments of their lives. I just saw some American win a surfing competition. I saw the song. I mean, this is, what are we here for? It's the essence of competition. The essence of competition is handling the big moments. Why Michael Jordan has thought of one way and Scottie Pippen has thought of another way.
404-741-0929. You can chime in. This is going to be hard to beat us today on this one. Because I got up this morning and was like, what?
Me too. I know. I literally went, what? What the hell just happened?
What are you talking about? And then as soon as I say something, well, the Olympics is more than just about her. No, it's not. She's been one of the faces, just like Michael Phelps was when he was the premier swimmer in the world. She's one of the faces, okay? Our best sprinter is not there because she smoked weed because her mom passed away and she was trying to cope with it. Yet weed's accepted in the state that she smoked it in. It's legal. I mean, we could go on and on about this. But at the end of the day, right now, we're not living up to it. Our athletes there are not living up to it. And our premier athletes, the face of our team, is not living up with it. So, guy just hit me up. JR says, Dukes is called mental health. Bro, I'm all about it. Trust me. I know. Yes. Yes. Mike, hold on. I know about anxiety. I know about mental health. I have lived that. I've shared it on this show. I understand that. But at the end of the day, you're trained, as Mike Bell just told you, to be in these moments and live in these moments. Now, if she wants to come out and confess something that we're not aware of, and maybe I'll have a little bit more empathy for the situation, so be it. But until then, she caved.
Right. And again, I don't know the and by the way, do you think I know anything about gymnastics? No. I know what the experts say.
I know a 10 when I see one.
I know, right. I know what I saw as a child. I saw Nadia Comaneci, okay? This is why we want the Olympics. This is part of the reason why it's getting so much heat. This is the biggest event. This is the stuff that NBC is paying the big money for that everybody wants to watch. So again, I have a hard time. Yes, you want us to be, of course you want to be supportive of someone. I don't want to see anyone have a breakdown. Remember, like, what was that horrible situation when John Daly had the whiskey shakes on a golf course? I don't want to see anything like that. But, I mean, it used to be, in 2021, people can rationalize almost anything. This is the definition of pressure. You're the point. I couldn't even put it in a mathematical. Was it 0.00001% of the people in your sport? You've already won it. It's like when Osaka bails at Wimbledon. I mean, Wimbledon is one of the biggest, it is the major.
It is.
You know, it used to be you fought through this. And again, we've heard the phrase, it's almost cliched, Carl, personal demons and all that. Yes, we want everybody to be mentally healthy and good and fine. Athletics demands mental toughness. It always has. When it doesn't, then why are we competing? Then the Olympics becomes an exhibition. And why should I bother watching?
Simone Biles said, this is a quote from her today. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What are we winning over there? Quote, I didn't want to go into any of the other events second-guessing myself. Quote, so I thought it would be better if I took a step back and let these girls go out there and do their job. The girls went out and did their job, and they won silver. And I've seen the picture, and she says she's proud of her team. That's the phone number. It is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. And, Mike, by the way, I've been saying Twitter's fake for 5 years now. It's not real.
No.
Because you know why? Because people put BS out there and front and floss like they're doing all these things, and they're not. It's not real. You say whatever you want. Right. You got the bullies who try to bully people. It's not real. So I agree with Drinkowicz. But I've been saying that for 5-6 years now.
No, I mean, we do it, look, to promote the beer, anytime you get on anything. And as I said in this case, you got people don't know me, they see me. Oh, that's the guy who had the Jessica Mendoza thing. Ah, sexist pig. You know, so you got that aspect of it. And again, a white guy talking about, yes, a white guy who works with a black guy in Atlanta for 23 years who's covered every single issue you could about sports, from the racial to the political, you name it. So we're talking about the face of the American Olympic effort. So it's kind of a story. It's something we're not going to talk about, you know? Not going to talk about.
No, man. And by the way, can I say this? When we talk about these issues that some feel like are sensitive and maybe you shouldn't be talking about, I think there are some issues that come up that maybe some folks feel like I shouldn't be talking about. Part of our issue right now is dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. Just because you look a certain way shouldn't mean that you shouldn't have an opinion about what's going on. And I'm talking about our country right now. This is a statement about our country. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a statement about or opinion about what's going on. But dialogue. Can't we talk about it? Just because you look a certain way, you can't have an opinion. Now, you can't tell me what it's like to be black. But we can talk about these issues and these social issues that are going on and all these other things that are happening. That's how we work through stuff.
Yeah, I mean, by definition, Colin Cowherd or Jim Rome can't talk about basketball because they can't dunk one.
So I just, come on. I can't tell somebody what it's like to be Jewish. So I just, let's stop with that nonsense. Mike and I try to have real conversations on this show. We invite you guys in to hopefully help us with some of this stuff. And you know what? It's therapy for everybody, and hopefully we all gain something. We learn something. We grow. But us not talking about it, or you can't say that because you look a certain way, or you're not from here. Stop.
No, but as I said, that's the cancel culture, and all it does is create more division. That's all it does.
All right, let's hear
from... There's things that need to be corrected in this world, but, you know, people that want to see people fired for having an opinion on sports, I mean, I don't know what to say to that.
God, you don't say anything, because that's dumb. All right, let's hear from Simone Biles. Let's play this before we go to break. It's Dukes and Bell. We're talking about the Olympics. This is big news today. And again, I don't know if you're paying two cents attention to it, or maybe you're watching every moment of it. This is a big deal. Here she is.
No injury, thankfully, and that's why I took a step back, because I didn't want to do something silly out there and get injured. So I thought it was best if these girls took over and did the rest of the job, which they absolutely did. They're Olympic silver medalists now, and they should be really proud of themselves for how well they did last minute having to go in. And it's been really stressful, this Olympic Games, I think, just as a whole, not having an audience. There are a lot of different variables going into it. It's been a long week. It's been a long Olympic process. It's been a long year. So just a lot of different variables, and I think we're just a little bit too stressed out. But we should be out here having fun, and sometimes that's not the case.
And I got to add to this. The stressed out, you know what else you're stressed out about? Tokyo shut down. Everywhere you go, you're getting, you know, is it safe? Am I going to get COVID? Am I going to have to bail out? She's right. There's additional stresses. Roddy Rod says, Dukes, I read Biles felt they were cheating her score on the early events. And then our man Creflo Nickel says, well, yeah, that's why she left. She was second-guessing herself whether she could do an easier routine to appease the judges and downplay her own talent. Either way, guys, she backed out. In one of the biggest moments that we could have had a team gold medal, her leaving opened up the door for Russia to win. And I love Simone Biles. I was hoping she would dominate and kill this thing. But there's something to be said about what Mike's talking about in competition.
We talked about it, Carl. Another reason I get down on the Olympics, you're not even calling them Russia. They're the Russian Olympic Committee, because the Russians have cheated so much in the Olympics, technically they can't even be introduced as Russia. And just there at the end, you talked about what a lot of folks have mentioned. Simone is so good at what she does, other gymnasts can't even do it. So they feel that there's sort of been a sliding scale away from the things that she does, which isn't unfair, which is part of the reason why I don't like the Olympics in the first place. But still, guys, and we know the background story. Simone Biles has been front and center in NBC promos. She's had an unbelievably difficult childhood and life. But we're talking about this moment here in time. I'm not talking about what Ben Simmons had a trauma, why he can't shoot a jump shot. I'm talking about the athlete in the arena at the time.
We got plenty more to dive into. It's Dukes and Bell. We're going to go around the yard. Braves have another big game tonight. What happened last night in that second game? We'll talk about it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, guys, Braves back in action tonight. We get Charlie Morton on the hill. That's the good news. I think this is a bullpen start for the Mets. I'm not sure who they're throwing out there. Bottom line is we're going to get advantage Charlie Morton. But last night, Mike, let's rewind. We had the doubleheader. They win the first game. The second game was winnable, And as I said earlier today, I didn't think anybody would be talking about Jesse Chavez coming into the game and getting a big double play
right.
to get out of an inning.
And by the way, that Freddie stretch was unbelievable. I was waiting. Seriously, I was literally waiting for his pants to rip. I mean, that was unreal.
It hurt me. I don't know about you. Like, when I saw him do that, I was like, ooh. But last night, Braves lose in the second half of that doubleheader. And they were able to come out and get, you know, a run with runners in scoring position. I will say this, though. Dansby's mistake, that ball goes off his glove.
Right.
Mike, we're not in that position if he makes that play.
And it was earlier in that game. I was watching. I heard on Bally, I think it was Frenchie was talking with Chip Carey about it, about, you know, how, you know, how does he – or I think it was Snicker brought up, how was he not considered a gold glove shortstop year after year? He's got to make that play. It's not an easy play, but it's not a most difficult play, Carl, and it's a play that has to be made. You know, and that goes back to the little things, you know, and the Mets. This is, if I got it right, the third time they've beaten us with a bullpen start. Mm-hmm. And when the story is written for this year, and if they go on to win the division, because the Mets bullpen is 10 times better than the Braves bullpen. It just is. But the irony is, these are like playoff, low-scoring, typical old-school National League games here, you know, where the Braves, Carl, I thought Mueller did a really nice job. I was kind of hoping they'd stick with Mueller regardless of the pitch count. Bullpen did a good job. Guys were clutch. And this was one where, look, I'm not going to bag on it's easy to bag on Luke Jackson, but he just needed to be letter perfect in a game like this.
Yeah, I mean, you go back and you look at, like, that inning, and, you know, he's become the scapegoat, right? That, right. Really, that's what this is. You start to look at Luke Jackson and you go, oh, here comes Luke, and we've talked about this. If you are just talking about it from a baseball perspective, Luke Jackson actually came in and did his job. He didn't get the backing with Dansby not making the play, but Almonte grounds out to short. This is how the inning went, right? Jackson comes in to pitch, should I say. You got to ground out to second. Nemo reaches on the infield single, which is the play we're talking about. And then Alonso comes out. He strikes him out. And then McNeil doubles the deep center. Boom, the run scores. So then you go, okay, what else does he do? Well, he walks the next hitter. And then Davis flies out to shortstop. You're out of the inning. But it was one run, two hits. And it's like, oh, but you're right. He needed to be perfect, but it shouldn't be that way. You induce a ground ball, Mike. He should have been able to get out of that inning, let alone, you know, to take the blame for it, which a lot of people did last night immediately after Luke Jackson came in and left that game.
But, you know, big picture, all right, where are we? Well, we're looking up at 500 again, you know, wondering where we're ever going to get there. And a conversation you and I have had a number of times in these last few weeks, you know, deadline is Friday at 4:00. I think if you missed our show yesterday, it wasn't like we you and I talked about this before the show. Hey, it kind of just came up. Like, you know, in hindsight, let's not be sellers, but let's not be buyers, and let's just hold on to Charlie Morton, who's been great. Smiley's gotten better, to your point. As I was killing him earlier in the year, I wanted to release him by, like, you know, May 1st. But you need these arms because the young guys, I don't know what Soroka's going to do. We've talked about the uncertainty with some of these pitchers and guys who've had their shot. Now, again, let's hope that Kyle Wright and some of these other guys can do what Tukey's doing. Tukey's been amazing his last two outings.
Yeah,
you know?
He really has.
But, Carl, it's for the naysayers of the glass half empty, you wanted to take 4 out of 5 from the Mets. And we can still do that, but last night was a frustrating loss.
It really was. Let's hear from Dansby talking about Kyle Mueller. Mike was talking about Mueller. Here's what Dansby Swanson had to say about how good he's been.
But he's throwing the ball great. You know, I love what he did today. I feel like when people got on, he kind of stepped his game up and made better pitches with people on base. And once again, that was, I feel like, the difference in the game. And people got on, he just kept making pitches and, you know, got a few big flyouts and a few big strikeouts. So he's been great for us all year long. And, you know, hopefully that trend continues.
So you got Mueller going well. Bryce Wilson, listen to Brian Snicker. Tookie comes up. Mike just alluded to his start. Brian Snicker talking about Bryce Wilson.
You know, like I said, the time before, you know, he got rained out. Next thing you know, I think we don't make enough of the fact that when these guys get off their routine, that's a big deal for a starting pitcher. And like I said, Bryce never offers any excuses. He owns up to everything. And today, you know, he knew he was going to start this and went through his regular routine. And I thought he did a really good job.
I did too. So here's the craziness about that, guys. We're talking about three guys that if I told you at the beginning of the season, these are three guys we're going to be leaning on. Tookie Toussaint, by the way, is going to come in, and he's going to have two great starts and look really, really good. And then, oh, by the way, Kyle Mueller is going to be good for you. And then Bryce Wilson as well. And you would have said, well, what happened to Soroka and Fried and all these other guys? That's the irony of this, is that we're still in this mix with guys that you're crossing your fingers every time they go up to the hill, you know, go out on the mound, and you're like, oh, I hope he throws the ball well. And they have been. Well, they have been.
Honestly, by the way, I found out who's pitching tonight for the Mets, by the way.
Who is it, Mike?
Jared Eichhoff.
Who?
Jared Eichhoff. He's a former Philly, Padre, Ranger. The Mets have yo-yoed him out of Syracuse, kind of like the way the Braves handle guys that are marginal going back and forth from Gwinnett. So it's Jared Eichhoff, Carl. He was designated Simon a few times. But he's back with the Mets, and he's bigger than ever at Citi Field tonight. So we'll see what the Braves can do, and hopefully they have a scouting report on this chump.
Yeah. These bullpen starts, again, advantage should be to us. I know everybody always gets scared because we haven't seen him. We don't know what he's like. I don't know. We're not familiar with how he, you know, what's his out pitch and all of that stuff. Go hit. Charlie Morton's going to give you a good start. He's been in a nice groove. Let's hope that continues. And if it does, Mike, again, the advantage should be us. And maybe we chase him early and we get into their bullpen. And guess what? That affects tomorrow and then potentially the next day. That's how you have to look at this when you get a start like this from the opposing team. You know, so let's hopefully get that going. You said it. We can still not only win this series, but do what we came to do, which is win 4 out of 5, which puts you right in the mix. And then we got to sit and wait Friday all day to see if Alex Anthopoulos is going to pull the trigger on something.
Apparently,
I don't know.
The Phillies are making a deal. Tyler Anderson goes to the Phillies. Christian Hernandez, Adrian Gutierrez, pending physicals. A trade. John Heyman, our buddy, reporting. We'll talk to him on Thursday. Also, we find out that Scherzer's list, again, Max Scherzer's on the market now from the Nationals. It's the rich get richer, Carl. Dodgers, Padres, Giants. He wants to be a part of that wild three-way race in the West. And Scherzer's, I mean, again, perennial all-star, one of the best pitchers, pound for pound. And I guess a betting man would say Los Angeles.
All right, guys, we got plenty more to dive into. If you're going to talk about Simone Biles, know the story before you dive in and go in on me and Bell. All right, we're coming back. We're going to get to the top three at 6. We'll get to the most important story of the day as well. We'd love to hear from you. Find us on social media, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes this radio show, Dukes and Bell, 929. And, of course, follow this radio station at 929 The Game. What did we find out today on this show from a very important person about Kanye West? We'll talk about that as well.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.